Hey everybody, really excited for you to listen to this. I felt really sharp during this interview with the Hundreds, an incredible lifestyle brand that has an incredibly interesting NFT project around their logo, the bomb. I really get into a lot of things in this podcast. This goes deeper into thoughts and watchouts in the NFT space, why the macro is remarkably interesting, why the micro and the short-term greed and the day trading is incredibly dangerous. And I have a funny feeling this will round out for a lot of you as you navigate going through this path of learning some things that may really help. So I hope you enjoy it. Check out the Hundreds and all the things they're doing. And now you're listening to this show.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening in some parts of the world. I'm Bobby Hundreds. I am your host for Bomb Talk. We are here today to interview Gary V, Gary Vaynerchuk. Come on in. We're just letting everyone slowly trickle in. You are listening to Bomb Talk by Adam Bomb Squad. I'm your host, Bobby Hundreds. I'm the co-founder of the Hundreds. We're a streetwear brand. We've been around for a couple decades now. And this year we launched a collectibles project, 25,000 unique NFTs under the name of Adam Bomb Squad. You can follow us everywhere. And this show, Bomb Talk, is our venue to introduce our community and any crypto newcomers to the NFT space. Look, most of us, including myself, have absolutely no idea what the breadth of NFTs entail. So this is an open and honest conversation weekly right here on Twitter Spaces with different bomb holders from Adam Bomb Squad who offer unique insight on this revolution. Every culture has a face and a flag bearer, someone who not only embodies the spirit and philosophy of the community, but is leading the charge for what can be, what is possible. I grew up in skateboarding, and those luminaries were people like Tony Hawk and the Gons, and in art, maybe it's Banksy. You know, these visionaries, these people who are really leading the charge and charging the lead of what the next frontier looks like. And in tech, you know, these people as maybe Zuckerberg or Elon Musk. Well, today we're speaking with our guiding light in NFTs. His name is Gary Vaynerchuk. And look, Gary's the one who actually, we have to give a big thanks to Gary because without him, there might not even be an Adam Bomb Squad. Back in January and February, Gary introduced us to CryptoPunks. By us, I mean Ben and I, the founders of Adam Bomb Squad. He introduced us to CryptoPunks and taught us what this space was all about. And it was because of that that we got heavily into the collectible side of NFTs. And then Gary launched his own project called VFriends, a blue chip collectible that he dropped back in May. And now it's just one of the largest and most influential projects in the space. But like Adam Bomb Squad, VFriends started off very much being about education and anticipation and community. And we're built the same. And that's really what this program is about. I want to bring Gary up on stage. We only have him for a short amount of time. I've never seen Gary in a place for more than 30 minutes. In fact, I went to a lunch last week that he hosted in New York and he couldn't even stay throughout the entire lunch. So let's get him in while we can. Can we bring him up on stage? My Adam Bomb Squad co-host, Gary, slowly connecting. Everyone say hello to Gary in the room.
Hi, everyone.
Hey Gary, thank you. I know you're mad busy.
I'm sorry. I'm headed. Actually, you'll enjoy this. I'm headed to the Knicks Sixers game in Philly to represent. Okay. So otherwise, I would have stayed longer. But yes, I'm excited for this half hour. I love you guys. Thank you for the kind words. In the lead up, I've been chilling, and I'm excited to chat.
Thanks so much, Gary. The first question I have for you, I mean, there are people in this room who don't own an NFT. Adam Bomb Squad, our project, and this room is really meant to onboard a newer community and also just familiarize people who may be new. I mean, I think we're all relatively new. So for those who are new and maybe even a little bit confused, why are you so captivated about NFTs and why should people be collecting these? I know it's a very basic and standard question for some of us, but for you, if you're explaining to someone today for the very first time, you know, what is it about these? And are you as excited now as when we first spoke on it in January?
I am. That's the easy part to answer. So I'll answer that quickly. You know, I think, I don't think people should per se collect NFTs. I think the reason I would
probably collect an NFT for everybody who's listening is to taste the technology. Every single person on earth in a decade will be affected by NFTs because I genuinely believe every ticket will be an NFT and most people go to something that's ticketed. So I think this is gonna happen whether you like it or not. It's exactly like the internet in 95, in my opinion, a new technology that fucks with everyone's brain because they don't fully understand it. You know, it's hard for a lot of people like ourselves to fully wrap our heads around it because decentralized servers is a very different game than centralized servers. We've grown for 25 years understanding that you don't own things digitally. Now it's the reverse. You know, that's why I'm so empathetic to this era because I lived it in 95, 96, 97, where you went to the library or encyclopedia to get information and now you had Ask Jeeves or Yahoo, later Google. Online dating was weird in 95, now it's standard. You know, just a million things. Like in 1990, there was not a single human in 1990, which, oh, by the way, was my eighth grade year. There was not a human on earth that bought something on the internet. Just think about that, right? So new stuff changes stuff, but you know, I think the reason why should people collect an NFT, like you said, literally, mainly to taste the technology, to understand it. It's hard to know stuff unless you're in it. You know, I think from an investment standpoint, I've been pretty consistent about this. I think we're in a gold rush. And I do think 96, 97, 98, 99% of the projects are a vulnerability to being a good financial investment, similar to stocks in 95. But I do think there'll be winners. It's funny, somebody very smart the other day said to me over dinner, somebody I respect, we had dinner, she said, and he said, a couple actually, said, bro, this is Beanie Babies. And I said, the problem is, this is stuffed animals. There are many Beanie Babies running around right now on the OpenSea Top 100, on CryptoSlam Top 50, but this is stuffed animals, and they got it. They got it. They've been categorizing the whole thing as a fad. People wrote articles in 2000 that said the internet was a fad. See, here it is. And so it's a very special time. We should all be blessed. We should all be very grateful for the blessing we have. We have 2,000 people and the 2,164 people listening right now. I wish they genuinely, I'm old now, so I've had two at-bats, you know, at this in 95 and 2005. I wish everybody here knew how big of a deal it is that you're even listening to this and you're at the forefront of it. There'll be plenty of money lost. I do think there's a little bit too much focus on the money. I do think 80% of the people in it are in it for the day trading and the quick flip. But the macro is such a big deal. It will change the way every contract is done in our society in due time over the next 2-3 decades. And I'm just so damn excited that I'm at the forefront. And then obviously for me, you know, whether it's sneakers, whether it's collectibles, streetwear, sports cards, comic books, toys, video games, I mean, pop culture, you know, I don't think there's any secret. I mean, just look at my office. That's something I've always been passionate about. I do think most people collect something, not everybody, but a lot of people collect something even if they don't realize it. I think fashion is an industry that should be looked at a lot. There's a lot of reasons people wear things, usually social signaling. I think there's a lot of human communication undertones in owning NFTs. And I think that will last because that's a human conditioning. It's a status. It's like wearing, you know, a Hundreds hoodie or rare Nike Dunks or a Prada or a Chanel bag or a Rolex or driving a Lambo or living in Beverly Hills 90210 zip code or putting a bumper sticker of Harvard on the back of your car. People signal all the time. Even mowing their lawn consistently is really communication. And I think that's something I understand from a consumer behavior standpoint. And I think NFTs are going to be at scale as we spend our time in the digital universe.
Yeah, there's a streetwear sympathetic crowd in the room just because I come from the streetwear space. I mean, you've collaborated with Jeff Staple. We had lunch with Ronnie from Kith last week. I know Ronnie's in the room right now. I saw you're teasing something with Anwar from Carrot. So what is it about streetwear that appeals to you, Gary? Like, how do you see NFTs and streetwear coalescing in the metaverse?
Well, like, I'm 46 years old and I grew up in Jersey, right? So streetwear is just like so, like, it's just so natural to me. I also spent the majority of my 20s and 30s, like, head down family business life, and like, didn't necessarily get to kind of enjoy the youth game the way a lot of my friends did. So I don't think I even bought clothes for a decade other than like what I wore to work, but I understand it. I mean, Ronnie, who I actually saw last night at the Knicks game, like you guys and many others that I admire, like, it's storytelling. It's the most important thing in the world. It's how religion is built. It's how brands are built. And, you know, it comes very natural to me to understand. I'm looking in the audience now, Musa, Brad, there's people in here who I've had many conversations with through the years. And I just very much understand what it is. And so the same way of creating scarcity, collaborations, storytelling, narratives, you know, vignettes and social media content to create a lifestyle, an association. Humans are tribal. And, you know, I get very tribal about sports. That's where my tribalism most kind of identifies, not around religion, not around race, not around brands, but in sports. If somebody walks by with, you know, literally in the airport wearing a Jets jacket, I feel close to them. And I don't have to tell any sneakerhead here, when you walk and you look at the sneakers before you look at people's faces, and if you see they have something proper, it's an immediate connection that you're in the same game. And, you know, this behavioral stuff is what I spend my time on. It's what I've been doing. It's how I understood how the wine world was going to evolve, why I've been so right about so many things. Most people are met with new innovation and they're in the business of saying no. They can't see it because they're in no culture. They are more comfortable with the no. They prefer the no. For me, it's always yes. Curiosity and then the work behind the curiosity is how everything works for me. And so streetwear brands are just so obvious. They just make so much sense. It's so authentic when it starts. It's a true crew. And then, you know this, you've done it and others in the room have done it. Then it scales. Then you have to really be thoughtful of how you want to scale it, what it means. It's brand building. It's the most fun thing for me in the world. You know, again, Moose is in the room. If you guys see him, I love him. He's in here. He's got a beautiful photo. Like, he's been a lot of brands, Burberry, Nike, Apple, you know, and we've interacted as friends and associates through the years. And like, he's had this incredible marketing career. And I've always liked him because I felt it was natural to him. Nick Tran, another one of our friends, Bobby, like at the CMO of TikTok. There's certain people that brand comes natural to. For me, it's second nature. It's what I understand. It's why I'm so excited about Be Friends. Like, building Gary Vee the brand is exhausting. You're a human being. You have to take on all the baggage that comes along with putting yourself out there. I have real conviction and passion around what I want to say and what I want to leave the earth with, and, you know, pass on a lot of things that came natural to me or was parented into me. And, you know, for me, using Patient Panda or Accountable Ant or Curious Crane is a lot more fun in a lot of ways. Going from Mickey Mouse to Walt Disney, going from Hulk Hogan to Vince McMahon is going to be really exciting for me. And that's my plan with Be Friends. And that will be brand building, storytelling, streetwear collaborations, to animated shows, to toys, to collectible games, to trading cards. Everything I grew up with, from Transformers and Thundercats and He-Man and My Little Pony and Care Bears, all that garage sailing, all that pop culture understanding, it's all coming to the forefront now.
I think one of the things that you had mentioned that really resonates with me the most about NFTs is the tribalism and the community. It's my favorite part, more than the investment side. And I think if we continue to lean on emphasize those parts, I feel like we have a lot of longevity and strength in this culture and community over time.
Yeah, but on that note, while I've got so many bright people, by the way, Johnny Cupcakes in the building, another guy who's done a great job that I've watched from afar for a long time. I think that's right, Bobby, but I think that we have to be incredibly careful, because I think a lot of people say community and support artists, and then their behavior doesn't match it. I think there's a ton of hypocrisy in the market right now. I think people are optically painting, you know, social signaling, but then if you look at their behaviors, they're pumping their bags, they're tearing down other projects thinking that it helps their project. I think we have to be careful. I think we have to recognize that there's a lot of people in this right now because they're day trading and making money. And listen, I'm an entrepreneur and I like flipping things. I like flipping toys and sports cards. And, you know, it's why a lot of people bought wine from me. I was right about the wines that went up back in the 90s and 2000s. There's nothing wrong with having commercial interests, supporting your family, trying to quote unquote do well as a business person. I do think it's a little bit of a dangerous time right now because I do see the majority of people speaking altruism, but executing greedy capitalism. And it's something that I really want to talk more about. Like, don't bullshit what your intentions are. It's just not authentic and it will never end well for you. And everything is trackable. One of the reasons I was so excited about NFTs is I love the sports card world, but as my influence raised in sports card land, people started making fake allegations that I would talk about Devin Booker to flip my Devin Bookers while I kept all my cards, and I still have them. And so that hurt my feelings. I didn't like people trying to tarnish my reputation, but there was no way for me really to prove it, though nobody ever had any proof because it never happened. With NFT land, I love it. One of the reasons I maintain public wallets, the two that I have, Gary Vee and Ginazzi, is because I want people to see everything I'm doing. So if I believe in creatures or world of women, or women and weapons, or Mumbat the artist, like I'll say it. And then I'm, you know, because I know what I'm doing, I'm holding. You know, I'm holding 90%, 85% in perpetuity probably. And so that's something that I think we have to be very cautious about. I think there's a lot of fake talk in our space right now under the guise of, you know, it's all community and we love each other and Nirvana and we're changing the world. Yet, if you really look the way I do, and that's what I do for a living, I really pay attention. I read qualitative feedback at scale and then I follow the breadcrumbs. There's a lot of people speaking things to manipulate the market so that they can sell their tokens for a profit.
You're 100% correct. And in fact, speaking of the marketplace, one thing I did want to talk about, this elephant in the room, which is actually a bit of a bear, NFTs have been taking kind of a hit if you're just looking at sales and transactions over the last few weeks. And in fact, this has actually been going on for a few months now. There's been a little bit of a deceleration. And we've seen this before, right? Like this happened in the spring earlier this year. Some attribute it to Ethereum surge. Some are just saying there's a lot of trash NFTs out there. Maybe people are starting to cut through a lot of the inauthenticity and seeing this for what it really can be with certain projects. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that and how you're staying committed without letting the fear, uncertainty, and doubt distract you. Do you have any advice for people who might be worried or who might be wondering where this is all going from here?
Sure. I mean, I've like completely not paid attention for this reason. And this would be my number one advice for everybody. Please, my friends, and really looking at all the faces in these almost 3,000 people, there's a lot of friends, AKA I actually know you, or I've definitely interacted with you, you know, in a light or meaningful way. Please, my friends, with all my heart, please do not spend money on NFTs during this era. That is money you can't afford to lose. Please, please don't do that. It's so important. It is my number one goal to get across to everybody. And I hope that everybody, literally all 3,000 people here, tweet that quote and reshare everybody else tweeting it so that we can get 10,000 tweets in 2 seconds on the timeline. Do not spend a dollar more than you can afford to lose. If you're playing long, if you believe so much, because I see a lot of you talking about it, if you believe so much in the long term of NFTs or in the long term value of your project, you don't look. I don't fucking look, Bobby. Like, I'm not worried if it's hot, bear, or bull, or what have you. Like, I've made a commitment to the space and to the projects I believe in and to the artists I believe in and to the IP I believe in or the collectible, and I'm going to sleep because if everything goes to zero, it won't change my life. I'll lose a lot of value on paper, but it's not value that I'm looking to deploy against feeding my family or putting a shelter over my roof. And so I'm incredibly concerned that people are spending money that they can't afford to lose. And what I'm triple concerned about is youngsters who got shit on this summer and spring for believing in NFTs, who've now made money on NFTs. Now they went from everybody making fun of them or being cynical in their circles to now having be the winner. If we have a hardcore crash, then all of a sudden they're a major loser. Many of these kids are talking shit to their friends right now, like, I'm smart. They have their self-esteem wrapped up in their success in NFT land. And if there's a crash, there's no hiding. And I'm very concerned that that leads to very dangerous frameworks. That if people have their self-esteem wrapped up in their NFT success, and then the NFT market crashes, there's a reason why stockbrokers and people on Wall Street jump out of windows. I'm very concerned. We have to talk about this as a community. Do not spend money that you can't afford to lose. And if you're doing well, don't talk down to your friends that didn't get into NFT land. Speak to them and be kind. You're not cool. You're not special just because you made some money on a fucking JPEG. Like, calm it down. Get your humility down. Don't go too high so when shit hits the fan, you won't go too low. So to answer your question is, especially the 3,000 people that are in here, I've seen the majority of the people in here tweet that they're about this forever and this is what they're going to be in and this is what they believe in and this fucking, you know, rat or squirrel or llama is what they believe in. So if that's true, if you fucking believe so much, the fuck are you worried about of the prices right now? Bobby, if VaynerMedia was an NFT, I went 3 years without making a dollar. The floor would have been a disaster. The floor would have been a disaster.
100%. Like, I talk about this all the time.
Yeah, all these people in my Discord are like, Gary, you got to do something. Like all these other, I'm like, first of all, I cheer for every other project. When I see fucking Creatures or World of Women or Bored Ape or Gutter Cats or Craniums this or Lions that, I fucking cheer for every one of you. Bombs this and fucking all of you. I see Sean Doris in here. I'm fucking obsessed with what he's doing because I've seen him build community and actually give a fuck. So I'm gonna buy the fuck out of his bubblegum machines. Like, fuck. I'm rooting for everybody in here. I see people tearing down subtly, cleverly, sneakily. They tear down other people's projects because they think it's gonna help their bag. Let there be no confusion. Let there be no confusion. The dominating energies in this space right now are optimism, creativity, and fucking greed.
100%. We talk about this all the time, even within the context of the hundreds. We've been running this company for 18 years. The first 3 years, we didn't turn a profit. And if we had to build this company today on the backs of NFTs, everyone would just consider it a failure and a loss for 3 years straight before they saw anything turn around.
Bobby, can I tell you a secret?
Yes, please. Please tell all 3,000 of us a secret. This room is packed.
I secretly kind of want to not do anything. Like, I've been debating weirdly the last couple of weeks doing nothing for VFriends for 9 months, weeding everybody out. I almost wanted to go to like Mint Pro. Like, I just want to make a point, which is like, either you're in it for the long haul and you believe or you're not.
I'm with you. And we've actually been kind of low-key running that strategy since the beginning of our project as well. And we are seeing the real consistent, the committed community stay with the project for life. And the people who are nervous, the nervous money, we didn't really need it, to be quite honest. We wanted people here for the long haul who really believed. I think that's what NFTs need. I think everyone expected NFTs to just, there's kind of this energy and this rationale with a lot of collectors or investors that they think this is not really going to last.
I mean, let me tell you this. The macro is going to last forever. The micro, I believe that literally, if I looked on OpenSea's top 100 right now, I do believe that 87 of them are going to zero.
Totally. Happens with everyone knows the statistics on small businesses and brands. This happens in every industry.
Of course. But the difference is, it was a lot of money to start an iPhone game. It was a lot of money to start a startup during the internet. The supply and demand is a problem. The cost of entry to put out a PFP project right now is so low that the supply is so extraordinary. And we haven't even gotten into the fact that right now we're still in an ETH world, but we have Solana, we have Matic, we have Immutable, like costs are gonna drive down even more. And it's like influencers. I view NFTs like I view influencers. I was quote unquote right in 2008 when I wrote Crush It and everybody, if you go look at the Amazon reviews of Crush It, people shit on me saying, yeah, people are gonna make 100,000 a year on YouTube. Which is now a joke because millions do, millions. Same thing's gonna happen with NFTs. I think that there will be a long tail. When I say go to zero, I need to clarify that. I think that there'll be things that go to a couple $100 a piece that are now, you know, 5,000. I actually think there's a remarkable long tail for artists, one of ones, and even PFP projects, like, which is amazing. My argument with Crush It in 08 was somebody who was destined to be a lawyer and hates it to be a influencer about honey or sneakers, what a life. Instead of making 230 being miserable, you might make 130 being ecstatic, which is a much better life because it's not just about the money. Oh, by the way, if you love it, I actually argue you have a better chance to get the 330 a year or 50,000 instead of 40,000. So it was that was the argument. Same thing's gonna happen here, right? There's gonna be a very long tail. There's only gonna be a couple of, you know, 5, 10, 15, 25 blue chips, but there's gonna be a lot of great little projects. My only concern is that the pricing right now is as if everything's gonna be dominant. And so you have to be careful. I also don't like the behaviors. People are like, well, it's about the community. Well, that's like a fan base that has vested interest. That's what, you know, of course a gambler is gonna be rooting for the Browns, right? If they bet on the Browns. But if the Browns don't go execute, they're gonna go away from that pretty quickly. There's a lot of communities right now that are built on the short-term financial greed. They like, if you go, like I go and lurk on Discords probably all day long. I know what the fuck I'm doing. And if you go read all the Discords, they're not talking about storytelling and IP building and organizations. Everyone's talking about how they can do something real quick to pump the fucking floor. Let there be no fucking confusion out here. And people are supporting anonymous founders that they don't even know who the fuck is driving the project. And they're excited about minting that. Like, this is about, you. Like, the winners of this space are gonna be very clear. It's when you believe in her or him's ability to navigate the project for a decade. That's it. That's the fucking blueprint.
And I feel like you've proven that track record quite well in the course of your career.
Yeah, I mean, just to do a little rap battle, like, just to go into that, Gary, let there be no fucking confusion. VeeFriends is gonna be the number one fucking project in the world in a decade.
And number two.
I think Bored Ape is remarkable, and I think you guys are remarkable, and I think Cool Cat's remarkable, and I think fucking, look, Punks plays in an animal, Punks is a different animal altogether. They don't do anything, and they're gonna continue to compound. So let's just put them over there. But like, yeah, I'm not fucking joking around out here. I'm fucking laughing every day watching all of you underestimate me.
I love it. We carry the same energy, Gary. and it wasn't it amazing to see Punks at NFT NYC do absolutely zero. Like
look, they're on some artifact shit, right? Bored Ape is trying to be Kith and Supreme, and if they win it, they'll be Nike, right? I'm trying to do some fucking Vince McMahon, Walt Disney shit, right? Other people are battling to be He-Man and fucking Pokemon and fucking, so that's that thing. So like everyone's playing a slightly different game, but it's all gonna be based on can you make it matter, right? I think, you know, back to street culture. I think we could all agree that this is today, on this day, Supremes are not as hot as their Apex moment, right? Cause it's hard when you're that cool, right? That will be the fun thing to watch from the sidelines on Bored Ape, and I cheer for those guys heavy, especially with Guy Osiri involved now, who's my guy, is they're gonna have to execute very properly for a long time to get to the value that they're at. I'm gonna have to do the same. I've gotta do, I mean, right now, VeeFriends is priced in. There's enough people that believe in me that have priced it as if I'm going to execute. So I have a lot of work to do. I have like incredible amount of pressure. For me, if VeeFriends, the reason I'm confident is if VeeFriends fails, I'm finished. That's truly what I believe because so much of what I do is built on my reputation. So for me, not posting as Gary Vee anymore, not helping my dad with Wine Library, not doing public speaking, not writing books, and not even running VaynerX, which is now a fucking very big company, is all on the cards for VeeFriends because That's why I'm confident. Like, I'll bet the fucking house on it. And I don't think most people are doing that. I think people are, I know a lot of the founders of these projects, they view them like startups. Like, well, if this one fails, I'll do the next one or the next one. I don't know, man. There's a lot of formula for a lot of vulnerability in the marketplace. For me, it's not an option. I'm too tied to it.
I'm the same with you. I'm right there alongside you. I wanted to ask you, actually, I feel like it's important to talk about all the mental health aspects that come with this on the founder side and the collector side, right? I mean, we touched upon it a little bit earlier.
Let me just address something with Senanga 33. Maybe something I said about the community. Let me nuance it because he put out a great tweet. He's like, I'm confused. Is this a joke or was this the context? The context of when I say community is, I hear a lot of people talking like, no, Gary, you don't get it. This worm project's going to do well because we, the community, is awesome. And the point from the person was, it doesn't matter what the founders do. We, the community, are going to do it, right? The point on like how I established BeFriends on like, you know, it's an NFT project of meaningful intellectual property and extraordinary community. Like, a community is a great secondary aspect, but it can't be the driver. So I just wanted to create that clarity from that tweet.
Thank you for that.
I really believe that. Like, I get the community thing and it's powerful, but you have to understand, like, if the people that actually own the IP, and I'm not even talking about when you get derivative ability to do things with the IP, because that gets into fragmentation. And I actually think the shared IP monetization thing is a danger. The reason that brands worry about counterfeit is not the lost revenue, it's the dilution of brand of shitty stuff. If the community owns the IP and the community starts doing shitty stuff, the end consumer, you know, the 8 billion, not the fucking 10,000 or 5,000 that own the tokens, starts getting confused about the narrative. So like, whoever's driving really fucking matters. It's like anything in life, like, leadership matters.
This is a frustrating, if not tense, point I run into all the time in my discovery and process in NFTs as well, is that it's so community-led and so democratic, but at the same time, branding is really about a singular unified voice that's reinforced time and time again. How to, you know, basically rally up a community to share the same tone, language.
I'll say this. I'm starting to interrupt because I got to run in a minute. Like, the Steve Jobs thing, this, where you're going, I really believe in, and that's what I'm doing with BeFriends. I do believe that there's a healthy balance opportunity. I do think you can get incredible stuff from the community, and I'm for it. I just wanna make sure that people realize a project that's led by a singular human being, right? Sarah Bauman, who I like a lot on World of Women, she can singularly win it. She can. She can, if she controls all of it and builds the weapons of women, like, if she builds, like, she can do it. A human can do it. We've seen it. A community can be an incredible support system to that founder, visionary, driver person. I do think it will be a challenge to have 5,000 different people with 5,000 different agendas, even though they have one macro agenda, which is to make the IP successful. Everyone's like, well, Gary, this one's going to do a TV show. I'm like, do you know how many cartoons failed? Like, Tom and fucking Jerry had a solid movie come out recently. Right, Bobby? You saw that, right? It came out. It was solid-ish.
Sure. Yep.
But let there be no confusion. It didn't elevate the brand so much. I don't see Tom and Jerry penetrating culture and popular culture. And they had a fairly successful movie. Like, this is fucking hard out here. We need to be very, like, everyone's throwing around, like, oh, no, don't worry, they're going to do video. Gary, they're going to do a game. I'm like, 99 fucking percent of games fail, Bobby.
You're like, absolutely people right.
People are like, Gary, the roadmap. I'm like, motherfucker, that's a deck. I've seen a million pitch decks that the people didn't fucking execute. Like, what are you fucking talking about out here? Listen, we need more of this talk in this space because people are going to lose money. I don't want people to lose money. This is not like Web 2.0 and the fact that in Web 2.0, even though it was going to change the world, there was no money being traded every day. It was longer term. Right now, we have a lot of people spending money they can't afford on bets that they don't understand. And for the 3,000 people in this room that are in it deeper, we have a sense of responsibility to speak to all of the angles. The 4,000 people in this room, we listen. I think it's nice if you share your complete thoughts, not the ones that just help you have your tokens go up a little bit in price over the next week. And that's important to me. Yes, do I think VFriends is gonna win? Of course I do. I'm gonna bet my life on it. Do I think there'll be 10 to 15 other blue chips? Of course I do. Do I think some of these mid teams? Of course I do. I want to support artists left and right. I'm doing it every Saturday, buying new stuff. It's so fun. It's amazing. It's a great time. But let's not forget the other part. And when the winter comes, just like April 2000 for the internet, just like many other times, the recession after Web 2 blew up and social blew up, we had the recession. Because don't forget, it's not just NFTs. What if the government fucking rules on something? Like, what if the US comes out tomorrow and changes some shit? Like, we know there's legislation going on. Please, let's be thoughtful. Let's start with this. Do it for the right reasons with money that you can afford. Because you start doing that gold rush mentality, some of you going to fucking zero forever. And right now you look like a hero and your fucking avatar's good and you're cool amongst your friends and you're gonna get caught. So please, 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 with all my heart, please be thoughtful. That's what I'm leaving.
Gary, just to refresh everyone's memory in the room, what are those right reasons? And let that be the takeaway.
The right reasons is if you can afford to support an artist and it only costs you $800 and you genuinely think the picture is beautiful, that's amazing. That's how art's always worked. By the way, if you want to do better for your family and you want to day trade NFTs, that's fine. But don't be a hypocrite or don't be someone who's lying and saying, well, I'm in it for the communities or I'm in it for the, you know, the innovation. But what your interests are, like, it's okay to own those commercial interests. Because I don't want your reputation to get ruined. I don't give, by the way, on the record, do whatever the fuck you want. Who the fuck am I? Fuck me. I'm one dude. I'm just talking what I see and what I've seen time and time again, because what experience does is it fucking gives you great clarity. And at 46 years old this Sunday, I have a lot of fucking clarity. I had it from the get because it's my natural fucking talent, but now I really fucking have it. And I really, really, really want people to be thoughtful. And for the people that are creating projects, all I think about with VeeFriends every second of my life is what's in it for them. Why the fuck would they have this? What can I do for them? And I have a lot of meetings with a lot of people creating things, and there's a whole lot of me, and I'm gonna get this, and this is how much I'm gonna make, and this is the, and it's just the wrong form. It's not a sustainable model. You can make a bag in the short term, but you're gonna burn your reputation. This is a time when reputations are gonna be made and destroyed. Don't destroy yours. It's the only currency.
We love it, Gary. Thank you so much for spending your time with us today. I know you got to run to your game.
We'll talk soon.
Everyone to remember, you got a book coming out, and we have VeeFriends 2.0 coming out. So I just wanted to add that in while you're still in the room with
us. Fuck that bullshit. That'll be all fine. I'm going to win that regardless. I appreciate where you're coming from. I love you, and we'll talk soon. And
have fun at the game.
I'm going to read all the tweets, Gary, right now. Tell me what the observations were, guys. I'm going to jump in this car. I love you. Bye, everyone. Bye, guys and gals.
Bye,
love
Gary.
You.
Bye.